You said yes, and I will be there, and I'm so thankful for each one of you. I look around this place, and I see all kinds of folks who I love very much, and I'm glad you're here. And it's an interesting journey as these sermons get crafted. I planned months ago that I saw that the calendar was this little two-week period between the service we had last week with Pastor Denny and the picnic, and what a great service that was last week. I hope you experienced that as I did, as such a wonderful opportunity to see what God is doing. He's done in the past, He's doing now, and He'll do in the future through this church right here, this building of ours. And we celebrated that, you know, the journey continues. As Pastor Denny told us last week, that we moved from what looked like sure destruction, but rode the flood to this beautiful place. And God's been doing great work in this community, through this church, all these years. So thanking God for that opportunity. But then I saw this two-week period between that and when I'm going to be off for a couple of weeks as Kristen and I take an adult vacation, which means we leave our children at home and go off. I'm so looking forward to that.
I should put Aunt Sarah on the prayer list.
We should have put Aunt Sarah on the prayer list, who's going to have these kids for the week when we're away. But celebrating that Mona will bring the message 1 week, and Natalie Mariano, who is working down in Moxham, is going to bring the message one of those weeks. So looking forward to hearing, you know, God's speaking through these women of faith who are doing these great things. And in the midst of all this, what do I do with these 2 weeks in between? And so I had this idea for continuing with our series of growing up in the church, life in the church, how God continues through His grace to move through us and grow us in faith, grow us in grace, but also to kind of warn you, to give you a warning that life in the church can become too comfortable or can become too convenient. And so when I was working through the titles, I came up with this workaholic church, thinking of, you know, as we're growing up, some people work too much, and Mary and Martha we'll talk about. But I'm thinking more of the dangers of the corporation church. The church that that becomes more about business than about serving. More about doing things than getting to the heart of things. And I think that may be one of the biggest problems in our world, is that the church has become more of a dispenser of goods and services than a place where people can come for an encounter with God. I'll flesh that out for us today, but let's look at the scripture. It's found in the Gospel of Luke. I'm going to invite you to stand with me, however you're able, body, spirit, mind, heart, whatever, however you can give reverence to what God has to say to us through these words today. Mary and Martha. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. As Jesus and His disciples were on their way, and in Luke they're always on their way somewhere, He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to Him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what He had to say. But Martha was distracted by the preparations that had to be made. She came to Him and asked, "Lord, don't You care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Jesus is the Word of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated, friends. Let's pray together. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of Your Holy Spirit. We have heard Your Word from so long ago by Luke. Now, You give me an opportunity to speak, and I pray that I disappear I pray that it's not my voice, that it's yours, that it's not my words, but they're yours, not my thoughts, but yours, as we explore what you have to say to us through these challenging words today. In Jesus' name, amen. I worked a number of years for a corporation called Bocelli Pizza, and I enjoyed my work. I did well. And one of the things I got, and I've shown you this before, is this wonderful award called the Wow Award. See how it sparkles? Ooh. And that is for exceptional customer service. Exceptional customer service. I'm very proud of that award. That award is only given to one employee, one store in that entire corporation. To the person who could give the best customer experience to people who came through the doors of my store. And I believed that as people came in there, that they deserved my very best. That was the best year that my store had. As I instilled into my employees that, remember, that we are always dealing with hungry people. We are always dealing with hungry people when you work at a food place. Hungry people. How do hungry people behave? Sometimes they're angry. Sometimes they're surly until they get their food. And then they're happy and they enjoy their experience. They want to come again. So that was important to me. And silly me, in my transition from corporate life to church life, I had this idea that I could just take the skills, the customer service experience that I learned in the corporate world, take that out of the corporate world, apply it to the church, and I could make everybody happy. I could make you all happy. I could just meet your needs. I could satisfy your desires that you had. I could make the church into this kind of place where you receive religious goods and services from me, and in exchange for that, you know, I feel like I've done my job. So that ministry becomes more of what I do than about who I serve. Because I'm not called to serve, you know, just people. My first calling is to serve God. And if I become more concerned with making all of you happy, guess what will happen? No one will be happy. Because I can't meet the needs of your spirit. I can't do that. Only God can meet the desires of your heart. Only God can truly meet your spiritual needs. See, the church isn't the pharmacy. I go into my pharmacy, they know as I'm walking toward the counter who I am, and before I even get to the register, sometimes they have my insulin ready. Maybe it's because I'm always at the pharmacy, but I think it's more that they are giving me goods and services. Goods and services. And if we allow church to become a place where we deal in religious goods and services, we become more of a corporation than we do a people gathered by the Holy Spirit in God's name. We become more about you know, fixing problems or making sure that people are satisfied than we are about worshiping God. You become, rather than participants in worship, you become the audience. And my role is to entertain you or to keep you coming back week after week or to find out if you're in the hospital and go and visit you. That's not what it's about. You know, you're not here to be entertained by me, and heaven forbid, we are all the actors on the stage. And our performance is to God. All of us together are in this as we offer our praise, our worship to God. We're not customers as we come into the church. We are coming to experience the grace of Jesus Christ. Yes, that's true. But primarily, when we gather together, we will form relationships. Those are secondary to the primary purpose of why we've gathered. To worship God, to praise Jesus, to receive that grace, and then to take it to the world around us. But if it becomes corporate, then it becomes, well, I didn't get anything out of that service today. Or I didn't like the message that much. Or, you know, the music wasn't all that good. Or to begin looking at the list of goods and services that the church provides. Great children's ministry. The choir that sounds good. A youth program that meets all of the children's needs. Adult ministries marriage ministries. It becomes a list of goods and services. Religious goods and services. That we're offering a bunch of services to offer you. I can do that. But you know what I then Little Caesars moved in, and Papa John's, and Domino's, and Pizza Hut, and any other restaurant. And in my corporate mind, I'm thinking, I have to do better than them. We have to do better than the Catholic Church. You know, it becomes a competition. We have to do better. We have to have better services than the church down the street. That's not why we're here. We've gathered together to praise God, and what a great place to do that. But not as a competition. Not to see, okay, how's Calvary doing this week? You know, how's Mount Zion? How's the big Baptist church in the middle of town? How are they doing? No, not to be competitive with each other, but to seek opportunities for us to serve God together, to grow in love with each other. Because if we can't do that as a church, if we can't do that as churches together in a community, how in the world are we able to give any sort of grace, any sort of blessing to people who aren't part of the church? How do we relate to people outside of our ministries if we're more concerned with how we're doing in relation to someone else? Corporate, competitive, that sort of nature, it will destroy churches. It gives rise to really bad theology. Really bad theology, where our worship of God becomes more about us than about serving God. Every time I say this, I hear my PPR going, oh, all right, here's the words. I would do this job for absolutely nothing. Kristen goes, what? And she knows this is true. I would do this job for free. Absolutely. Because I love it so much. Because I get to do this, and I get to serve Jesus with all of you, and I get to be involved with your lives in a way that most people don't get to. I've been there in moments of great sadness in your lives. I've buried many of your family, your friends, your spouses. I've been there to walk along with you in those journeys. I've been there for great moments of blessing. You know, I've baptized more of Gina's grandkids than I can count. You know, I get to be part of that. I would do that for free. You know, I would do that for absolutely nothing. When I got this, I knew to the penny how much I was being paid per hour. Because it was more about me, my role, what am I doing? Where in this line of work, it's about, you know, this wonderful opportunity God gives me. I get to serve Jesus with you. So what does that mean for all of us? That's me. What does it mean for you? realize the opportunity that God is giving you every single day? That you will walk out into this, out of this place, into a world where you will meet people who you will be Jesus for. You will be Jesus for somebody in your life, and you leave this place today. Ooh, Ryan hitting the keys over there. You will be Jesus for somebody in your life. And if that is a chore, if that is a what am I going to get out of this encounter that I have with this person, then your theology is messed up, because your theology is about you. It should be a joy. God gives you an opportunity. I don't know what it will look like in every one of your lives. I'm one guy, but you go out into the world, 100 of you, go out and meet 100 different people. What is that going to do to the world? It can't help but change it. When I see the news, and my Saturday night was after the kids go to bed, after Kristen goes to bed, my Saturday is kind of my ruminating time, trying to put all this together to the thoughts of the week, the you know, what stays in a sermon, what goes in a sermon, all of these things. It's just thinking of the state of the world, where people can look at a person who's made in the image of God. Maybe they don't look like them, that person, but they're made in the image of God. And to have such disregard for that other person that you have no empathy, no ability to see that person as someone who God loves, and to just shoot them and kill them just out of random chance that they happen to be in that place. How in the world did we get there? How in the world did we get to this point in our nation where we hardly bat an eye anymore? We take a look. How many were killed? Oh, it's not as many as last time. I guess it wasn't as bad. Well, this one was a really big one. What are we going to do? And debating over the silliest things in those issues. The primary problem is we've forgotten how to love each other. And we've forgotten who God is. And if we can't look at each other and even if I don't like you, at least I love you. At least I know you're a person of sacred worth who God deeply loves. If we can't even get to that point, then how do we even begin to solve problems of violence in the world? How do we even begin to be bring peace to this troubled world of ours? D is right. It begins with me. It begins with you, with each one of us, thinking differently, thinking more about God first than ourselves, thinking more about this life of mine, this life of yours. It's not about us. Our lives are about God. And if we walk that way, if we have that kind of attitude in our lives, then that can't help but grow. That can't help but spread. Martha was really interested in having things just right. Really interested in having things go exactly perfectly. Jesus said, you're worrying about the wrong things. You're worrying about the music. You're worrying about the bad sermon. You're worried about the color of the carpet. You're worried about the list of goods and services. What is the primary thing? What's the one thing that matters most? If you leave this place and you have a really good experience here, oh, that was such a great time, great service, great music, great everything, and you leave this place and you haven't connected with God, you leave this place and on the way out the door, somebody cuts you off in traffic, and you get angry and you give them a one-fingered salute. You know, you leave this place and your boss says something mean to you and you respond with anger. You, if you haven't allowed God to soak into your soul, but you had a really good time here, really good experience. I failed. I failed and you failed. But if we leave this place and our hearts are attuned to Jesus Christ, that no weapon formed against us prospers, that we go out into the world and we are agents of peace in a troubled world, then I think we're doing the one thing that Jesus says. So let's not worry so much about being a really good dispenser of religious goods and services, not only here in this place, but in our own lives. Let's keep our eyes attuned our ears attuned to the one thing that matters. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves this world. He cares for us. He died for us. He's coming again for us. And when we are agents of peace in this troubled world, the world will change. I guarantee it. I believe it. God loves you, and so do I. Amen.